Fight. The good fight. You know, not every fight that you have is a good fight. Not every fight you have is worth fighting. You ever fought a fight you thought, why am I doing this? Why am I in this fight? Why am I fighting this fight? Why am I having this dispute? Why is this argument going on? I just need to step back and step out of it because it's just not worth the investment of my time, my emotions. It's not good for my mental health. It's not good for my relational world. And so this is not a good fight to have. However, there are some fights that are good fights, believe it or not. They are good fights. They are fights we do need to have. And Paul talks about it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, where he says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is worth fighting for. Your faith, your future, your journey, your promises, the purpose of God, that's a good fight for you to fight for, and you've got to fight for it. He says, a grabbing hold of the life that continues forever. You were called to have that life. You were called to it. You were promised it. It's your right. It's your inheritance. But you've got to contend for it. You've got to grab a hold of it. You were called to have that life when you confessed the good confession that you made before many witnesses. So there is a fight, and you're going to fight battles for the promises of God. It's not all just going to happen. You've got to get your gloves on. You got to get your attitude on. You got to get your swag on. And you got to lean into God, lean into the Word of God, lean into the Holy Spirit, lean into church, lean into relationships and connection with other people. So you got some friends to stand around you when you're in the middle of the battle. Nothing worse than fighting your fight on your own. You feel much more confident, much stronger, much bolder. Your declarations are much bigger when you do it in the presence of your friends. When you've got your friends going into battle. You don't want to be a loner when you've got to fight. And of course, this fight that we have, the fight of faith, this contending that we do for the promises and the plan of God for the eternal life that He's promised us, it's one that we get to fight with our family and we get to fight with our friends in a positive way. So not every fight's a good fight. Another verse that speaks of the fight is Romans 12, where Paul writes this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. It speaks of the same kind of conflict, the same kind of battle. And yet when we read this verse and we think of evil, we think of the big evil is what we think of. But evil can come in subtle ways, in little ways, in little things, in everyday normal things that we find ourselves involved with and in our minds that unpack evil for us. So evil can be doubts. Evil can begin with worries. Evil can begin with fears or a little bit higher with distractions. Things that distract us from the purpose of God. Things that distract us from making the right and best investment of our life in terms of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And to that, the Apostle Paul writes, do not be overcome by evil. Don't be overcome by that, but overcome evil with good. And so the good fight that we're called to fight is a fight against the erosion and the downgrading of God's goodness in our lives. Now, if you've been in church and you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've had some fights. Any warriors in the room today? Anyone bearing some scars today? Come on, you've been around for a while, you've had some fights. I've had a few fights in my time. And I'm a fighter. And I am a fighter. I am a warrior when it comes to the promises and the purposes and the plan of God. Nothing has been given to me. I've had to fight for it in terms of walking out this journey of believing God. And they haven't always been good days and pleasant experiences. I've had to fight and contend for the faith that I believe in. I've had to struggle with the difficult questions of life when things haven't happened how I thought they should happen. When things haven't gone the way I thought they should go. When I looked at God and thought, God, what on earth are you doing? You ever had that thought? God, what are you doing? Can't you see this is the best way for it to happen? And as if we're giving some kind of counsel to God, which is always, can I just say it's a dangerous thing to counsel God? You ever read the book of Job? Job as he unpacks his counsel for God, and he wants to give advice to God, and God says to him, after Job has his little say, God just says to Job, stand back now and brace yourself, because I'm about to answer you. And it's never a good thing when God says, brace yourself. Brace yourself. Brace yourself for what I'm about to tell you. So in our wisdom is not always the best pathway. And I at times have looked at things and thought, God, why is it going that way? Why is it happening that way? That's not the way I wanted it to work out. That's not the way I thought it should work out. I've had to fight my own internal battles about my beliefs and the things that I believe for and the things that I will fight for and the things that I will fight on. Because there are lines that when they get crossed, I'm going to fight on that. I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to stand up for that is what I'm going to stand for. And I think the thing that has helped me get through it all and continue to get through it is I've just simply remained committed to who I am and what God has called me to do. I've remained committed to God. I've remained committed to His church. And I've remained committed to the ministry that I felt God has called me to. And I think that sense of continuing brings a great sense of empowerment for us all just to continue fighting, continue to be a fighter, and to understand there always will be a fight, a challenge, there always will be confusion, there always will be conflict that will come into our worlds in different ways and in different seasons, and that there's nothing that will keep the flow of staying connected to God more connected than simply being committed. Simply being committed to what God has called you to be and who God has called you to be. So commitment to doing that has kept me going. But in it all, my confidence may have been rocked. My expectations were certainly rocked in different seasons. And I guess I even maybe downgraded my anticipation of what God may do because of the challenges that I felt and do feel in different seasons. And I say all that to say this, you're exactly the same. People here today have gone through, you know, big life-defining moments. And when you go through life-defining moments, like maybe a change in a relationship status, maybe a divorce, maybe you've lost somebody, a family member or a friend, or maybe a career has been redefined for you in an unexpected manner. Maybe your finances, money's gone south, which is where it tends to go. It just goes south, and it's gone funny on you, and it takes a long time to recover when money goes funny and to learn new skill sets in terms of money. We all have these moments of definition, of defining change, where things are redefined for us in a big way. And it's in those seasons that you find out who you really are. It's in those seasons that you enjoy the investment that you've made for many good seasons when the challenge comes, because the small investments you've made of building relationship with other people and other believers and the church and with God and your devotional life, that's when they shine, is when you're in your moment of challenge and conflict and uncertainty, when you can't see clearly. I know 2020's coming, and that's a year of vision. That's a year of seeing clearly and more clearly. But for some of us today, we're going into that new year and new decade, and it's still a little bit foggy. It still lacks a little bit of uncertainty. It still lacks a bit of clarity. I love what Pastor Danny Guglielmucci, who is like our grand pastor for our church, says about that. He says, when you can't see clearly and you have no clarity, that's when you simply have to trust in sovereignty. You've got to trust God when you're in the valley of the shadow of death. You need to trust God when things aren't working the way that you expected them to work. So I've learned to be defined by God's promise. I've learned to be defined by the things that God has planned for me, not the things that I'm experiencing, because they don't always match up. They don't always match up. But here is my ultimate belief. I believe that life is hard, but God is good. That's my belief. I believe life is hard, but God is good. And God's goodness overcomes the hardness of life. God's goodness overcomes the challenges of life. And I see these two realities being hand in hand. And I have to hold the tension of the hardness of life and the goodness of God, and reconciling the belief I have in this good God, as opposed to the hardness that we might experience in life, and see in life. And I believe with all my heart that the goodness of God will overcome the hardness of life every day. Every day, the goodness of God will overcome the hardness of life. And so I know it's hard, but God is good. You know, I think the good thing, if there is any good thing about challenging seasons, I think the good things about challenging seasons are that they really define your belief system. They define what you will value, what you will believe in, what you do believe in about God, about God's word. And I decided many, many years ago, I was never going to change my belief in God because of a difficult season. I was never going to change my belief in God because of a difficult season. And I think that's been challenged time and time again in my life, and I know in yours. And at times I've felt like it's been an all-out attack against everything that I've believed. And so I've had to fight, and life has taught me to be a fighter. Any friends in the room today? Life has taught me to be a fighter and a warrior when it comes to the seasons of life. And we've got a real good friend in that, in the psalmist, in David, where he writes this in Psalm 27. He said, I would have lost heart. How many times have you almost lost heart, almost given up, almost walked away? He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, David's saying, I know life's hard, but I believe God is good. I know life's hard, but my confession or my declaration and my prophecy is that God is good. I'm going to declare it today. I'm going to sing it today. I'm going to praise Him today because I believe the goodness of God will overcome the challenging season that I find myself in. And that was certainly David's experience. That was his journey. He had trouble. He had terror going on. He was surrounded by enemies and surrounded by strife and danger. And yet he stayed simply committed. This is what he writes in the start of Psalm 27. He says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3, though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. So though I got all this junk going on, he says, in this I will be confident. That one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. And he shall set me high upon a rock. I think there's several things we've got to do if we want to remain confident and committed like King David in terms of the troubled and difficult and challenging seasons where we remain confident to see the goodness of God. And the first one is this, is we've got to fight to see the good in everything. We've got to fight to see the good in everything. Sometimes you've got to dig deep, but there is good in everything. You know, when you fight to see the good, you start to win the fight. When you determine, I'm going to see the good, that's when you actually start to win the fight. Doesn't mean you've won it. It means you begin to win the fight. The fight over the questions. The fight over the confusion. The fight over the barrage of doubt that comes when you're in a challenging season and you're going and asking God, why? Why? Why did that happen? Why did that happen to those people? They're good people. Why did it happen? Why did that tragedy take place? And what happens is your confidence starts to grow as you start to want to see the good. Your boldness starts to return. Your expectation starts to lift and return to your spirit because you drop anchor in the goodness of God and in that belief. And you make that part of your belief system that I believe that God is good, so I am going to see the good. Paul says it this way, we know from experience and from what we've learned and what we've been taught that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. And so God works for our good in all things, not just some things, but all things. All things, not just some things. In other words, God works in your ugly. Look straight ahead at the moment. He works in your ugly. He works in your mess-ups. He works in your goof-ups. The only way we lose this fight is if we stop fighting. The only way we lose this fight is if we lay down the fight. The only way we lose this fight is if we hand up our gloves and we walk away from the fight. So instead of giving up, we need to look up. Turn to your neighbor and say, look up. Look up. We need to look up rather than give up. So look up in our trials, in our trouble, in our hardship, and believe that in all things God will make a good thing out of this trouble, out of this season, out of this difficulty. And I will fight the fight by seeing the good that God wants to do. Of course, we see it in the Word of God. We see it in the promises of God. But not only seeing the good, we're going to fight to say the good. We're going to fight to say the good. Some of us need to retrain ourselves about how we talk about circumstances, about how we talk about ourselves, about how we talk about the people around our world and the conflict and the challenges and the difficulties that we find ourselves in, because our confession is really important. We started it looking at this verse where Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, grabbing a hold of the eternal life, the life that continues forever. He says, you were called to have that life. You were called to have it when you confessed the good confession before many witnesses. You know, your salvation for you started in your confession in Christ as Lord. If anyone confesses in Jesus Christ as Lord, he will be saved, is what the Bible says. It starts with a declaration for us, with an acknowledgement, with a confession. And so our confession literally determines our expression and experience of life. That's why Paul encourages us to keep a good confession, to keep a good confession. You know, I've spoken about this a few times, but we have this little thing in our brain which is really important to understand, because when you understand it, you can use it. If you don't understand it, it's going to use you. And there's a big difference between you using it and it using you. It's going to be used. How it's used is dependent upon you. And with knowledge comes power. And when you don't have the knowledge, you are disempowered. This little thing in your brain is called your RAS, your reticular activator system. It's put there by God. It's this little component in your brain. It's like Google in your brain. Like everything you see in, you know, Google world is just a duplication of the enormous capacity that God has placed in the human brain. Like today, you've got, well, maybe you don't want to tell us, but maybe you've got Alexa at home, which is this little thing that sits there and you talk to it and you can give commands to it and it just searches for things automatically, voice activated on the internet for you. Well, in your brain is this RAS system which is designed to find things for you, and it operates in your conscious and unconscious mind. So it automatically does searching for you, and what it does, it presents to you things automatically that it thinks you want to see. That it thinks, did you get that? That it thinks you want to see. And it's been trained, you've got to set it up, just like you do Alexa, you've got to set it up, and it gets set up in your early years. It gets set up in your formative years. It gets set up by the big people in your world. It gets set up by your parents. It gets set up by the education system, the teachers, the people you spend a lot of time with, those environments. It gets set up by your relatives that are around you, speaking into your world, the environments that you have, whether you had a loving environment, a praising environment, or a negative environment, or whatever. It helps set up this RAS system in terms of how to function. And it triggers things to you all the time, automatically, without you even being aware or wanting it, and you see it and you see it and you see it, because the environments have prepared your RAS system to operate a certain way. And so we're trained by life to see certain things. Now, unfortunately, some of us have been trained by the environments of our life to see trouble and problems and negativity and issues, and our RAS system just pops them up everywhere, and it's what you see everywhere you go, because you're trouble-minded, you're problem-minded, you're issue-minded, you're negative-minded, because of the way this system is operating in your brain. And so you see a problem in every solution, as opposed to your friends who see a solution in every problem. And it's all because of the conditioning of a certain environment. What if you decided as you go into 2020 that you're going to retrain your mind, you're going to reframe your mind, you're going to do what the Bible says, and you're going to renew your mind? You know, we all need that. the beautiful thing about your RAS system is it can be retrained, if it can be reframed, it can be renewed with new patterns and new habits and new lifestyle choices, and which open up new options and possibilities and opportunities as we train our RAS system to bypass all the junk, to bypass all the negativity, to bypass all the rejection, all the hurt, all the abuse, whatever it might have been that has taken place that has formed us to see a certain way and to talk a certain way. What if you started to say and expect and see good things, as opposed to the bad things of life that are taking place? What if you started speaking out those declarations, speaking them out? Because what you speak is what you begin to see. And it's like, I love the way this works when you buy a motor vehicle and you buy a certain brand of car and you never noticed it on the road before, but the moment you start to speak out about buying that car or you get that car, you notice that everybody's got that car. Everywhere you go, everyone has a red car. Everyone has that certain brand and label of car. You're noticing it everywhere. Why are you noticing it? Because you're talking about it and your RAS system is presenting it to you. It's highlighting it. It's popping everywhere you go. And you see it everywhere that you turn up. So rather than speaking about the faults that are around your world and the faults that are in your friends and in your family, rather than focusing on the faults and the smallness and the issues and the negativities, how about flipping that and talking with a spirit of faith about the possibilities that you see and the good things that you see? How about rather than grumbling and complaining, we focus on uplifting and magnifying and even exaggerating? Turn to your neighbor and say, exaggerate, please. Exaggerate. I need some exaggeration today. Exaggerate for me. Exaggerate just in the hope that it might pull someone up. That it might pull someone up to a higher level, a greater level. You know, it doesn't happen naturally to speak that way. You've got to be intentional. You've got to train your mind to speak in a positive way and see things in a positive way and to focus on good things. But it comes, I think, more readily available for us as believers because we have a belief system that says God will make all things good. God's going to make all things good. That's what I believe, is that God does that. You know, the truth is, not everything in life is worth talking about. Not everything in life that happens is worth talking about. And, you know, the big mail is, not everything belongs on Facebook. Nobody really cares. It's just reality. Do I go there? I mean, seriously, some of the junk that you see, just get it off. Get it off. Get it off Facebook. You don't have to live your life on Facebook. There's another book called A Faith Book that you probably should be going to and drawing from it rather than just mirroring all of your life on Facebook. Not everything has to be aired. There are some things that you just don't need to talk about with everybody. You need to talk about them with somebody, the right people. Not everybody. Not everybody can handle your junk. Not everybody can handle your junk. It takes a certain type of person and maturity and spirituality to handle people's junk. It really does. And not everybody can handle your junk. Like, I'm careful about who I talk to my... I'm careful about who I talk my junk to. I'm really careful about who I talk my junk to. Because if I talk my junk to everybody, not everybody would be able to handle it. So I'm careful about what I post on Facebook. If I'm having a good day or a bad day, I'm careful. And can I just tell you this about Facebook too, is don't glamorize everyone else's world and life and minimalize yours. Yeah. Because talk about exaggeration, that's what Facebook does. Yeah. It just makes it look like they're having the most wonderful time and the most wonderful life and the most amazing experiences. But mail, it's just a photo. It's just a snapshot. It's all it really is. So not everything has to be hung out to dry. We need to learn to fight the fight of saying the good about ourselves, speaking better about ourselves, speaking more positively about what God is doing in our lives, about our friends, about our family, about our church, get the good mail on all of that, and teach your reticular activator system to start seeing that because of what you're saying. It's like what you say you will see. And so make sure you're saying the right things. And then finally, we need to fight to not only see it, not only say it, but we need to fight to sow it. We need to fight to sow the good. And I think we understand this very much, that we reap what we sow, and that the sowing is such an important part of the investments that we make in life. And it's talked about everywhere in the Bible. Jesus talked about it in Luke 6, where he says, given it will be given unto you. So in other words, whatever you give, that's what this literally means here. Whatever you give, it will be returned to you. You give a little bit of cheek, you get a little bit of cheek. You give a bit of nastiness, you get a bit of nastiness. You give a bit of grumpiness, yeah, you'll get grumpiness. You give a bit of an argument, well, you're going to get an argument. You give a little bit of fight, you're going to get a little bit of a fight. So give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Now, I know the reality is, and the application of that verse for our personal worlds is this, is you don't always get what you deserve. You don't always get what you deserve from people. People don't always treat us the way we should be treated, or the way we want to be treated. You don't always get the recognition that you deserve. You don't always receive the validation necessarily that you think you need from people in your world or around your world. Maybe you deserve a whole lot more kindness than you're getting right now. But what we can't do, this is the warning, what we can't ever afford to do is we can't afford to do what God, you can't do what God wants you to do and be who God wants you to be by always giving back what you get. So in other words, don't give the nastiness back. Don't give the fight back. Don't give the negativity back. Refuse to operate like that. Live by this principle, given it will be given unto you. Give what you want. Give what you want. Don't give what you've been given. Give what you want. Because I know some people are in situations where what you're given is not good. But you need to give back something different. You need to give back a different spirit. Like the Bible talks about a soft answer. It calms someone's spirit. A soft answer. Whereas if you raise your voice, it won't go well. If you get some fire in you, it's not going to go well. But if you remain calm, if you remain soft, if you remain in control, then you can control the environment of what's going on. And so maybe if people aren't even treating you right, inside your mind you're going, I'm going to sow good seeds right now. I'm going to sow good seeds right now. I'm going to see good things. I'm going to say good things about that person, about that individual, about that circumstance. Because the truth is, I have no right to complain about the harvest I'm getting from a seed that I did not sow. I have no right to complain about a harvest I'm getting from a seed I did not sow. So if you don't like the harvest, plant a new seed. If you don't like what you're getting, plant a new seed. Plant a new seed in terms of how you want that thing to work in your life. And sow good seeds to a good harvest, and have an expectation of good. You can't have expectations of good unless you've sown the seed. The Bible says you reap what you sow. Paul says this in Galatians 6:9, don't get tired of sowing what's good. Don't get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So the only way you lose the fight is if you give up on the fight. If you give up on the fight to see, to say, and to sow good things. So there is a good fight. There is a big fight. There is a continuous fight for the things of God that we are believing God for. And we need to recognize God's goodness in our life and stare opposition down and stare challenge down and stare adversity in the face and declare something good's going to come out of this ugly season. Something good's going to come out of this small season. Something good's going to come out of this negativity that's happening around my world right now. And understand the fight is worth engaging, not to give up on it, but the fight is worth getting involved in and participating in it. It's worth my energy, it's worth my emotion, it's worth my investment, because that fight will change my world. That fight will change my world. You know, if you don't fight the fight of faith, the good fight, if you don't fight this fight, you'll continually downgrade your expectation of God. And people do it all the time. You continually downgrade your expectation of His goodness, your expectation of His blessing, and the expectation of His favor. And people in churches that go to church every week do this constantly. They downgrade their expectation of God because of a challenging season. Don't ever downgrade because it's being tested. Because the test is to see if it's going to pass the challenge. That's what the test is for. You know, David, the psalmist, he didn't retreat when he was going through his difficult moments and difficult times and challenging seasons. He didn't settle. He refused to settle in a place that God never wanted him to settle in. And I think there's a lesson there for all of us. Don't ever settle where God's not called you to settle. Don't ever settle in the small place that God has not asked you to stay settled in. Don't settle in the valley. David didn't settle in the valley. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'm going through it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I'll not be afraid because you're close with me. You're right behind me. In actual fact, he finishes that very familiar psalm, Psalm 23, by saying this, my cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So when you're going through your moment, when you're going through your valley, when you're going through the dark night of your soul, when you're going through stuff, when you're going through hell, don't stop. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't stop. Don't stop. Just don't stop. Keep fighting the fight of faith. Keep seeing the good, keep saying the good, and keep sowing towards the good season that you want to come into. So as we leave 2019 and we go into 2020, let's have our eyes opened. Let's see more clearly. Let's have a greater clarity about the good things that we are believing for God to do, and have the posture of a fighter. I love it when you see a fighter, like when you see a sports person who's in some really physical kind of sport, a real physical kind of sports person, like, what's the boxer's name? Jeff who? Jeff Horn. Is that his name? Jeff Horn, the boxer. And they have a certain swag. They have a certain walk. I mean, they're not ashamed to take their shirt off. If I did that today, yeah, your response says it all. But Jeff Horn, if he did that, we'd be all happy for Jeff Horn to take his shirt off and stand there in his boxer shorts and take on the pose of a fighter, because he's got a certain posture. He's got a certain atmosphere that's around him. And when he gets his gloves on, there's just something that happens. There's a certain bounce that happens in them when they get their gloves on and they're equipped and they're ready for fight and for the battle. The Apostle Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Come on, get dressed ready for battle. You know, when you get dressed ready for the battle and for the fight, there's a certain swag that you get. There's a certain atmosphere and ambiance around you that you carry when you're dressed for the battle. It's like David as he walked out onto the battlefield. He tried on Saul's armor, didn't work, didn't fit. He got into his own battle outfit, which was his little Tarzan thing, and his sling, and that's all he needed. Once he got that, he had his confidence. He had his confidence. Where was his confidence? His confidence was in God, a good God that would do good things and would bring the victory in the middle of this fight. So here's my encouragement as the team comes. 2020, get the posture of a fighter. Would you stand? Would you stand? Get the posture of a fighter. Come on, you got your gloves on. I know it's holiday time. I know it's the end of a season. I know we're entering a new decade. And I want you not to waste a moment as we enter into 2020, this new exciting moment. I want to encourage you to pray like a fighter. Not to pray passively, but to pray like a fighter. I want to encourage you to praise like a fighter. I want to encourage you to worship God like a fighter, to give like a fighter, to engage like a fighter, to relate like a fighter, to believe like a fighter, to behave like a fighter, to eat. You know, they eat like fighters eat a certain diet. They don't eat everything. They eat for the battle. So when it's coming up to fight time, and that moment of definition or challenge is on the table for them. They prepare for it. They're really diligent. Sometimes they've got to drop weight. Who has to drop weight? Heads down now. Maybe there's some things to change. Maybe there's some preparation. Maybe I can't go as easy as I thought I could go if I want to be match fit. There's a difference between being in the match and being ready for the match. It's like, you know, the New Zealand cricket team, they've been talking themselves up for months. Second best team in the world because they played England over in England. I mean, big deal. Have you seen the English pace attack? Can I talk to you as a cricketer, as a has-been, used-to-be cricketer? Nothing worse than a reformed smoker or a reformed cricketer. The talent in the English cricket team in terms of their pace bowling attack is like kindergarten level compared to the current Australian cricket team and their pace attack. And our wickets compared to the English wickets are poles apart. So when you play Australia at the Wacker, or when you play Australia in the Boxing Day Test match, it doesn't matter how much you talk yourself up. If you haven't walked your walk and got prepared for that moment and come out for that moment, you're going to come undone. And when Australia scores 430-something runs or whatever they scored, and it's your turn to bat, is it any wonder you're all out for about 150 and the pride of your nation has gone? You notice I never mention it when it comes to the rugby union? Because it works exactly the same in the opposite way for the rugby union. Australia talks themselves up like they're going to win it, they're going to win it, they're going to win it. And we know every time we're playing against those Kiwi friends of ours that it's really not a competition. We know it. We sing the national anthem boldly. We're right in it until we sing the national anthem. After that, we get on the field. And when the game's got to be played, it soon shows who the fighters are. Get some fight in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, get some fight in you. Get some fight in you. I'll tell you why. Because you've got some fights to fight. You got some battles to fight. There used to be a good country and western song if there ever was such a thing. I'm not sure you should ever say that there was a good country and western song. I'm not sure those words actually belong in the same sentence. Some would disagree. It was kind of a love song, country and western song. Not that I ever listened to the song, but it's like, I beg your pardon, I never promised you I knew Denley would know it, a rose garden. Never promised you a rose garden. It's going to be a bit of challenge. It's going to be a little bit of conflict. There's going to be a little bit of trouble. It's going to be a little bit of strife. And I'll tell you why. Because there's other human beings involved. And wherever there's other human beings involved, like I'm okay the moment I'm by myself. When it's just me in the room, there's no argument. There's nothing to argue about. There's nothing to prove. I'm right. When it's just me. But I found the moment another human being enters that circle, there's conflict, there's tension, there's opposition, there's challenges, there's one-upmanship, there's all that kind of stuff that goes on in humanity and relationships and connection. And it happens here, it happens here, it happens at work, it happens at home, and it happens in family, it happens everywhere in every connection that we have. And you just got to understand there's going to be fights. Let's make sure we fight the right fight. Put your bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this beautiful group of people. They're here because they're trying to live the best life possible, and they understand you are the best source of that. You are the source of the best life. You gave us a life that we received the moment we confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we need to fight for that promise of abundant life. We need to contend for it. We are the contenders. And we're in a fight. We're in a battle. We're in a challenge. And I pray you'd help us today to see the good that you want to do. see the promises of God and the plan of God and the path of God and focus on that. Help us to say the good. There's a lot of conversation that comes out of people's mouths. There's a lot of self-declaration and self-defining prophecy that we speak of ourselves and over people and over circumstances that's not healthy, it's not good, it's not helping anybody. And we just need to stop and ask ourselves, is that healthy? Is that helpful? What's the result of that? And not only that, Father, you'd help us to sow the good, to understand the investments that we make in life are so critical to the future that we walk into and the tomorrows that we experience. And so here we are, God, on the verge of saying goodbye to another year and another decade. And we're grateful for all you are and for all you've done and all you plan to do. And we believe today that life is hard, but God, you're good. And your goodness supersedes any hardness of life and the challenge and the difficulties. And so we embrace a new year and a new decade as a new beginning and new opportunities, Father. And we put the past behind us and circumstances and things that have happened and people that have either wounded us or we've wounded them and forgiveness and unforgiveness. We're not going to do that. That junk of that. We're going to walk in peace. We're going to walk in love. And we understand today we won't understand all things. But you do. You do. Help us to be wise. Help us to reframe. Help us to retrain. Help us to renew the way our own brain works for the sake of our own mental health. Help us to have an understanding that we don't have to be a prisoner. We don't have to be locked down and locked in to certain patterns of thought and patterns of conversation and patterns of what we see and patterns of how we be and how we behave because of something that's happened, because of something that was said or an environment we may have been raised in that was not particularly healthy or particularly helpful, Father. Help us to reframe that. Help us to renew that. Help us to have that transformed. Help us to be the fighter. Help us to have a posture of praise, a posture of I'm going to stand up, I'm going to get up, I'm going to move on, I'm going to lean in. Help us to lean into the Word of God this new decade, this new year, like never before. Help us to fight the good fight of faith and to contend for it because it's a fight worth having. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to ask our team to sing this beautiful new song, Jesus is King. And as they do that, we're going to serve communion today. We're going to finish the year with having Holy Communion. Please take the glass and the biscuit, hold it in your hand and wait for everybody. Then we're going to enjoy together.